I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We were just in the vestry beforehand, and Charlie turned to Laura and said, "Don't worry, today's sermon's going to be short." So I'll take that as a hint. So sadly, we are restricted this morning to just the 30 minutes. Actually, I was once in a church where the preacher said that, and sadly, he was serious. There has been a plethora of books that have been published over the last few years about guidelines for parenting. Lots about how to do it and all the ins and outs of it. And most of them are really very useful. I wish that we'd had some of them, and I guess our kids wish that we'd had some of them as well. But there are lots of books about guidelines, and this morning's readings, there's lots about guidelines in them too. In the Old Testament reading, there were guidelines about how the Israelites should celebrate the Passover. In the reading from Romans, there was a guidelines about, how they should love their neighbours as themselves. And there's kind of an interesting commentary on, as we look at society today, perhaps the reason that we see the breakdown of society and people not loving their neighbours is that perhaps we're not very good at loving ourselves anymore. But because it's a short sermon, we can't go down that particular route. And then in the gospel readings, it seems to be guidelines about what you do if somebody doesn't agree with you in church. So it's all about guidelines. And bits of us like guidelines. We like to know where we stand. Children like to push the boundaries, push the guidelines, so that they learn and understand what are the boundaries and the guidelines of acceptable behaviour and what isn't. But the guidelines in the Bible readings today were really quite precise. They were about how to be reconciled to each other and how to be reconciled to God. And what are the implications for not following those particular guidelines. So if you think of the Old Testament reading, the guidelines for the Passover, there were some pretty serious implications for the Israelites if they didn't put the blood on the doorposts, that God would not then have passed over them, and they wouldn't have entered into the fulfillment of the law, they wouldn't have entered into the promised land. For the Romans too, it was, if you don't follow the guidelines that Paul's outlining about the fulfillment of all the Judaic law, then you will slip back into the old ways. You won't know the presence of God. You'll go back into that old sinful, debauched way of society, which was seen as being corrupt and not for the long term. And in the gospel reading, it seems to be guidelines very specifically about what you do with this person or whoever it is that doesn't agree with you. In Matthew writes to, is a Jewish writer, is writing essentially to a lot of Jewish believers. And we've been hearing a lot up in the gospel up until now about how to relate to one another, how to behave as Christians. And then all of a sudden, these five verses we had this morning suddenly sort of go down a detour, and he's right back into Levitical law. And it's a little triplet of Levitical law that he's talking about. And I know you'll all be familiar with Levitical law. Fascinating as it is, again, we can't go into that in too much detail because we are limited just to the 30 minutes. But it's a little triplet of Levitical law. And he's speaking to Jewish believers. And he's saying, look, if you've got somebody who doesn't agree with you, try and sort it out between you. And if you can't do that, go and get some people who will be on your side and have another go. And if that doesn't work, go and find even more people who are on your side and have a real good go. And you can see the Jewish believers who are familiar with this bit of Levitical law thinking, yeah, we know what's coming next. And then you take them outside. Then you take them outside and you give them a real good going over. And Jesus then goes off piste and he says, so what you do is you treat them like you treat a publican, like you treat a tax collector, like you treat a pagan. And you can see the people thinking, yeah, that's what you do. And then all of a sudden, the penny begins to drop that what Jesus has been talking about up until this point in time is about how he treats pagans and sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors. He goes and eats with them. He goes and stays at their houses. He extends the hand of love to them. And you can see the Jewish believers thinking, oh, hang on a minute, this doesn't sound right, this is new. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. The old world has gone, has been transformed into the new. And even for the people who you disagree with, it isn't a case of let's gang up on them and force our way and view upon them. It's about extending the hand of God's love. Now, there are two things that are implicit in what Jesus is saying. First thing that Jesus is saying is that where there are differences, it's important to talk about them. It's important to address those with people who hold a different point of view to ourselves. It isn't a question, is it, if you've got differences, just sweep them under the carpet. It isn't a case of if you've got differences, no need to talk to the person about it. Just talk to everybody else about it and just gossip about it and tell them, you know, how bonkers this other person is because they don't see your point of view. Jesus is saying, no, that's not the way it is. It's important that we are open and honest with each other about the differences that we have. And sometimes those differences will persist. And that's where the second piece comes in, because Jesus is saying, it's no good just praying that something will go away, that something will happen, that suddenly there'll be a revelation. Yeah, absolutely. God answers our prayers, and we should be raising those situations where we want him to intervene before him. But we too also need to take action sometimes. It's one of those cases where we see God and his people working together to bring about his kingdom and to bring about his love and peace in the world. Sometimes God calls us to take action, to say something, to do something, as well as just praying to God himself. We need to be involved in that action. So as we look and as we have those differences, sometimes as we are praying with God, we need to be taking action. And then the second thing that Jesus seems to be saying is that even if we can't resolve those differences, and some differences will be irreconcilable, that doesn't mean to say that we are to throw that person away in our own life, that we write them off. Jesus says, even with those people that you have differences with, you continue to love them. You continue to hold out the hand of fellowship to them, because that's what Jesus is teaching all through his Gospels. That's the message of Jesus. That's the message that Paul is coming out with in Romans. That's about loving one another. And then I said it was a little triplet of Levitical law. And that comes, the third piece of that triplet comes right at the end, because Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. And what Jesus is doing is referring back to the law that people would be familiar with and saying, I am the divine presence. The authority that I have to tell you to go and love people, the authority that I have to say that this is the way that you should be working in the world, is because I am in the midst of you. I am that presence. The Hebrews would call it the Shekinah glory. God is present where two or three people are gathered in his name. That's the authority that Jesus gave to the people who are to speak out, but to love one another. And just as Jesus said then, where two or three are gathered, there am I, there is the presence of God in our midst. So as we gather today, so as we are instructed to love one another, to talk about our differences, but to love one another irrespective of those differences, so that presence of God is here with us now, and that presence of God is with us as we go out into the world, because it's often in the world and not in the church building where the differences and the difficulties are more visible. And that's where God calls us to show his love, to extend the hand of fellowship to one another, knowing that his presence has gone with us just as his presence is with us now. Amen.